And let's take our Bibles, open to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And as we're continuing our series tonight, dealing with the armor of God, as we're going through the book of Ephesians, just verse by verse. And we started the series on the armor of God. And last week, we were able to look at the first piece of armor that he tells us to put on, the belt of truth. And so let's begin reading here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So again, remember, notice he says twice here in verse number 11, verse number 13, put on the whole armor of God. All of it. Every single piece, right? Not just one piece, not two pieces, not half of it. He says put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we have an enemy that we face. There's an enemy that we face in verse number 12 there. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Again, this is not physical armor. This is spiritual armor that he's speaking of. And he says, we have a spiritual enemy. We have an enemy, of course, the devil himself and all of the spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, it's very obvious just if you look at our country. You don't even have to look at the rest of the world. You just look at our country, and it's very obvious that there is a spiritual wickedness in high places, right? A desire for the things that are good to be evil spoken of, the things that are evil to be good, and so just the opposite of what God desires. And so he says to put on the whole armor of God, and then in verse 14 he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness," right? And so last week we saw that we were to have our loins girt about with truth. Again, he begins with truth, because if we don't have truth, what are we going to stand on? If there is no truth, and truth is not something that you can just make up, right? Truth has to be validified. And obviously the only way that we know that there's truth is through the Word of God. God is the only one that we know that is truly true. Man can lie, the world can lie, governments can deceive, I mean all of that, but God does not. And so he says to put on this our loins, to be girt about with truth. And we talked about the loins, and that deals with basically from the waist down to the knee area. And so this week he's talking about here, he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So this week we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, again, this breastplate of righteousness is what would protect basically from the neck down to the waist. Okay, so you've got your loins girt about with truth. That's from the waist down to your knees. Now he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, of course, there were different types of breastplates that were used during the Roman times. And, of course, all different societies and over the time, of course, of years have used different types of armor and things. But in Paul's day, as he's writing this, the Romans were the predominant world empire. They were the world military. And so thinking of what the Romans had at this point, there were different types of breastplates that were used. The least most common one was called a lorica musculata. It was definitely more for like princes and kings. It was basically just two pieces. It was a full piece that would be in front and then a full piece that would be in back. And it was much harder to make those. And so it was more for princes and kings. You had another type of breastplate that was called the lorica segmentata, which was actually four different pieces kind of tied together with leather pieces and stuff. You had the lorica segmentata, which was actually scaled metal plates. So it was just kind of basically pieces of metal that were kind of scaled, almost like what we'd think of like with a snake or something like that. They were scaled, but larger pieces. But those, again, these were all difficult and very expensive. But the most common that was used, and it was cheaper, but it was also effective, was what was known as the lorica hamata, which was what we would call chain mail. Chain mail was basically the most inexpensive, but it was very effective. And so that's what, when we think of this breastplate of righteousness, there is this chainmail, this armor that is being put on. Again, as we think of the breastplate, we see that it covers the neck to the waist of a soldier. Its purpose was to protect some very important things in our body, the stomach area, our lungs, the kidneys, right? All of our vital organs. But most importantly, the breastplate was to protect the heart. The heart. Obviously, I think we understand when we think about what God's desire is. The Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on what? The heart. God's desire is that our heart would be right with Him and obedient with Him. And so thinking about the heart. So we're going to look at a few things about the heart and this breastplate of righteousness and why this breastplate is so important. Because again, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Not just the belt of truth, not just having our loins girded about with truth, but he says, make sure you also have the breastplate of righteousness. So what is this and what is the purpose of it, right? Well, many have referred to the breastplate of righteousness as the righteousness of God, which is imputed to us at salvation. If you hold your place here in Romans chapter, or Ephesians, go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In verse number 21. Romans chapter 3, verse number 21, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So Paul says here in Romans chapter 3 that once a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are given the righteousness of God, right? And we thank God for that. We were talking about that this morning, right? When Jesus Christ looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees his own righteousness, right? His righteousness covers us, right? But if you think about it, though, that righteousness that is given to us at salvation cannot be taken off. You can't take off the righteousness of God, right? You can't take off salvation. You can't put it on one day, take it off another day, right? You can't take off the righteousness of God. So if he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God, and he says put on the breastplate of righteousness, is the breastplate of righteousness this imputed righteousness that God gives to us at salvation? I think we have to come to the conclusion that that is not, right? Because you cannot take off the righteousness of God that is given at salvation. We are secure, right? We have that that security knowing that we are saved. But yet the breastplate of righteousness is something that he says you have to put on, which means it can also be taken off, and you have to put it on, and it can be taken off. You have to put it on, it can be taken off. So he's not talking about salvation, right? So when he says here, when we come back to Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, okay? It is imputed upon us, and it can never be removed. God's righteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness is something that is different from that, right? In fact, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So think about this. The heart is deceitful. The devil wants a person to think that they are okay in religion. The devil wants a person to think that they are okay doing rituals and religious ceremonies and practices. He wants you to think that you're a good person, but God tells us something quite different, that we are not. And that's what we find in Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, right? I don't know if Disney or whatever was the first one to kind of coin this phrase, but I think you probably hear it most through some of the Disney movies and things like this, and that is to follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, right? You follow your heart, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get in trouble. That's what's going to happen if you follow your heart, because it's deceitful. Do you know that you can't even trust your own heart? It's deceitful. It deceives even you. right? It's desperately wicked. There is nothing good that can come of a person following their own heart. All it will do is lead them to death. And that's why he says the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? And that's why the devil wants you to think that, hey, you can follow your heart. You just do what you think is right to you. You just follow what you think is best, right? But God says that's not the way to go. But once a person knows Christ as their Savior, we receive the righteousness of God, right? We're saved, we're secure. But again, as Paul is writing to these believers, right? He's writing to the church of Ephesus. These are believers, those who have already accepted Christ. He says, what? Put on the whole armor of God. Which is this piece we're looking at tonight, the breastplate of righteousness. So he's already talking to believers. So we have to understand this breastplate of righteousness is not dealing with salvation, right? He's not dealing with, hey, you've put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, now you're safe, you're secure. That's not what he's talking about here, okay? This is something a little bit different, okay? So what is the breastplate of righteousness? If it's not dealing with salvation, right? God's already taken care of that when we put our faith in Christ. These Ephesian believers, they had already put their faith in Christ. I mean, he makes that clear back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 about how a person gets saved. But now he says, put on the whole armor of God. And one of those pieces is the breastplate of righteousness. So what is the breastplate of righteousness? Well, again, when we think of the heart and what God says about it, in Ephesians chapter 4, back in verse number 24, he says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in, what's that next word? Righteousness and true holiness. So think about what he says here in verse number 24 of chapter 4. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This breastplate of righteousness is not dealing with salvation. The breastplate of righteousness is dealing with our life and how we're living our life. He says, put on the new man, right? Again, we battle in our flesh, we battle between the old man and the new man. The old man is our flesh. The new man is the spirit. And there's a battle that takes place every day. The old man says, hey, you don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to pray. You don't need to be in church. You don't need to tell anybody about Jesus. The old man wants to follow the heart. But the new man, which is created in the image of Jesus Christ in righteousness and true holiness, says, no, 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 no. Don't you follow your heart. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be in prayer. You need to be in church. You need to tell people about Jesus Christ, right? So this breastplate of righteousness is the uprightness of character. It is obedience and action to Jesus Christ. When we understand what Jesus says and what he tells us to do, we are either going to follow what he says in the new man in righteousness, or we're going to follow what we want according to our flesh. And so we have to make a choice. Am I going to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Am I going to put on this righteousness, this new man? Am I going to listen to what Jesus says? Am I going to listen to what he wants for me and follow him and put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart from the old man, to protect my heart from the world, to protect my heart from the devil? Or am I just going to leave it off and just say, hey, I'm just going to follow my heart and I'm just going to do what I want to do? And so he says that we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The life that we live either fortifies us against Satan's attacks, or it makes it easier for him to defeat us. You realize that? The life that we live as a Christian, it is either going to fortify us against Satan's attacks. We're either going to put that breastplate of righteousness on, which makes it harder for him to get to our heart, or we're going to make it easier. We're going to leave the door wide open for his attacks. So let's talk a little bit about this tonight. Let's talk about the unprotected heart. Now again, we're dealing with Christians because Obviously, only a Christian can put on the armor of God, right? Only a Christian can put on the armor of God, okay? A lost person cannot put on the armor of God. They can't do it, right? They're not saved. So only a Christian can. So we're talking about Christians tonight and putting on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, right? So let's first of all look at an unprotected heart, right? An unprotected heart is a Christian that is simply living their life the way they want to live without any regard to what God says. They say, I know what the Bible says. I know what God says in His Word. I know this is the way He wants me to go, but I'm just not going to follow Him. I'm just not going to be obedient to Him. I'm just not going to listen to what God says. I just don't think it's really important to be in the Word of God. I just don't really think it's important to spend time in prayer. I just don't think it's really important to be in church. I just don't think it's really important to tell others about Jesus Christ. I don't think it's really important to live the way that God says to live in His Word. Friend, that is an unprotected heart. We are leaving the door wide open for the devil. We're leaving the door wide open for his attacks. An unprotected heart lives day after day without ever putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And again, this is why he says, put on the whole armor of God, right? Because let's face it, there are days that we don't put the armor of God on. And what happens? What do we find? Our heart is left exposed. It's left exposed to the world. It's left exposed to the devil. It's left exposed to our flesh. And what do we find those days that we don't put on the breastplate of righteousness? What do we find those days that we're not putting on the new man and walking in righteousness and true holiness? You know what we find? We're attacked. And we're defeated. I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything major. It can just be something simple. But because we haven't put on the breastplate of righteousness, because we haven't determined to walk in righteousness and true holiness, we haven't determined that we are going to be obedient to God and follow Him in what He tells us to do, we've just said, well, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And even the smallest arrows, even the smallest darts of the enemy are able to pierce because there's no protection. It is an unprotected heart. They live thinking that they know what is best for their life and just follow their plans. And can I say, unfortunately, it seems like for a majority of Christianity, this is how Christians live, with an unprotected heart. This is the life I want to live. This is how I want to live it. And so I'm just going to do whatever I want, no matter what God says. It doesn't matter, you know, hey, it doesn't matter if my parents are trying to teach me right. I'm just going to do what I want to do. It doesn't matter if the pastor is preaching the Word of God. It doesn't matter if my husband or my wife, they're trying to lead in the home and spiritual things. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to do what I want to do. That is an unprotected heart. And you'll find the one who is living this way, may I say, has probably also not girded their loins with truth. If you're living with an unprotected heart, I can tell you this, you're not walking in truth. Your life is not grounded upon the truth of the Word of God. You see, it's kind of hard to just put on the belt of truth and not put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because if I'm going to put on the belt of truth, what is truth? Well, truth is the way that God wants me to live. Truth is what God says. So if I'm going to put on the belt of truth and have my loins girt about with truth, I'm going to naturally put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because why? It leads to truth. It's what God says. And so one that is not putting on the breastplate of righteousness is probably also one who is not being girded with truth. Because they just don't think it's needed. But not only is there an unprotected heart, may I say there's also a distracted heart. We can have a distracted heart. I think the prime example to this is the very people that Paul is writing to. The church of Ephesus also had another book written to it. Does anybody know what other book was written to the church of Ephesus?
Galatians.
The book of the Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, obviously, not the whole book was written to the church of the Revelation there, but it was one of the churches that it was being written to. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse number 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And watch what he says about the church of Ephesus. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Yeah, that's a very good report. That's a very good commendation that Jesus is giving about this church in Ephesus. He says, hey, you're doing a good job. You're working hard. You've been patient. You can't stand those who are evil. He says, I know your work. I know what you've been doing. You've been patient. You can't bear them which are evil. He says, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. He said, so you're not just believing any, you know, Joe Blow that comes by. He says, like, no, you're really listening to what people are saying. Those that are claiming to be apostles, he says, you found out that they're not, right? You tried them, you tested them, you found them to be liars. So you're not just believing anyone that comes along the line. And he says, and thou hast borne, right? And hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. He said, man, you've even suffered for my name's sake. You've suffered for my name. You've labored for me. You haven't fainted in all of this. Man, verse 2 and 3, it sounds like this is an amazing church. And as Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus back in Ephesians, man, this was a church that was doing great things for God. And even here, as the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking these words to the church of Ephesus, he said, hey, things were going well. Verse 2 and 3 is a great commendation of the church of Ephesus. But that's not where the passage ends to the church of Ephesus. Look what he says in verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Man, it sounds like everything was going great for the church of Ephesus. They were working, they were serving, they were making sure they were listening to what preachers and other people were saying. They were, hey, is that right? Is that lining up with the Bible? No, I don't think so. Hey, that's you're a liar, dude. That's not truth. That's not biblical. But he says, I have somewhat against thee. You say, well, how could God have something against this church of Ephesus? And here's the problem. They had no love. He says, thou hast left thy first love. What was their first love? Their first love was Jesus Christ. He said, wait a minute, Pastor, but they were working and they were serving, they were doing all these things. Yes, but not out of a heart of love for God. Not out of a heart of love for Jesus Christ. It had all simply become rituals. It had all simply become just going through the motions of doing all these different things. They were distracted. They got distracted. Think about what he says. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He said, hey, you need to get back to where you were at the beginning. You need to get back to that first love that you had. Can I say, Christians, if we're not careful, we can just start going through the motions. We can read our Bible going through the motions. We can pray going through the motions. We can come to church going through the motions. We can sing going through the motions. And there is no love for Jesus Christ. And people could look at First Baptist Church and say, man, what a great church. I mean, look at what they're doing. Look at their children's ministry and look how they're serving teens. And look at the young people getting up and saying verses and how the teenagers sang. And look at what they're doing for missions. But if there's no love for Jesus Christ, he says it's pointless. They were a distracted church. They were distracted. They traded God in for another God. They traded Jesus Christ for another God. And can I say tonight, the devil wants you to love anything other than God. He wants you to love anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't care what it is. As long as you love something else more than you love him, he's won. Can I tell you tonight, it doesn't even have to be something sinful. It doesn't even have to be something sinful. Oh, you know, it's sinful things. No, it doesn't. It could be something that is not sinful. But if we love it more than God, then it becomes sinful. It becomes something that is causing us to love God less. And this is why he's saying, church, you've got to be careful here. Good things took the place of God. They took off the breastplate of righteousness and allowed the devil an open target to their heart, and he got them. All the rituals they were doing, but there was no love for Jesus Christ. They were more concerned about the rituals that they were doing than their love for Christ and all of it. Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't we say rituals are a good thing? Wouldn't we say going to church is a good thing? Wouldn't we say reading our Bible is a good thing? Wouldn't we say praying is a good thing? Wouldn't we say coming to church and singing songs is a good thing? We'd say, oh man, all those things are very good. But if we love those things more than we love Jesus Christ, then we have just opened up the target. He said, go ahead, shoot away. Shoot away, devil. Shoot away. Because we've lost our love. Our love for Jesus Christ. And this is what he's saying here to the church. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. If we're not careful to put on the breastplate of righteousness every day, we can even allow something good to become God. Look, can I tell you something? A job is not bad. A job is not sinful. We need jobs. We need jobs to provide for our family. In fact, God tells us, you know, a man needs to provide for his family. But you know, a job can become God. Our families, we would say those are good things, right? Our spouse and if we have children, man, those are good things. God has blessed us. These are wonderful things. But you know, if we're not careful, they can become God. They can become God to us. And this is why he's saying, hey, you've got to stop and think about this for a second and say, wait a minute, is there anything in my life that is more important to me than doing the things that God wants me to do? Is there anything that would keep me from doing what God wants me to do? Because if there is, even though it may not be something sinful in and of itself, if I have escalated it and put it higher than what it should be, and I've made it even higher than God, then something good has become my God. And now I am taking off the breastplate of righteousness, and I'm saying, go ahead, have a free target. Go ahead, shoot away. Shoot away. And so we've got to be very careful that we don't have a distracted heart. Maybe it's not an unprotected heart. Maybe we say, well, hey, you know, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness, but maybe we're allowing our hearts to get distracted on some things. And we're starting to open up that breastplate of righteousness and allow areas that shouldn't be in our heart and in our life. You understand, Satan wants you distracted with good things. He wants you distracted with good things. It may not be necessarily something that we think is sinful and evil, but as long as he can distract you, even with something good, then he's got your heart following what your heart wants to instead of following the righteousness of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness. What is a committed heart then? Well, the breastplate was used to protect the heart. Obviously, there were other vital organs there, but it was used to protect the core, the heart, right? And as a Christian, our heart should be focused on Jesus Christ. Our heart should be focused on his righteousness. Obviously, I think we all know Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then what does he say? All these things shall be added unto you. And can I say, I think many times as Christians, we have that desire, Lord, I want to seek you first. And we start well. We start just like the church of Ephesus did. We start well, and there's a desire to do the things of God and the work of God and things. But what happens is, a little bit down the road, we're just more concerned about doing those things than we are for our love for Jesus Christ. We've left that first love, and we've allowed something good to distract us. And that's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. All. We have to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. He has to be first in our life. As we look to Christ, we are able to live a righteous life. Again, think about what he said back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. To put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Why? Because the pattern is Jesus Christ. He's the pattern that we're following. And so he says, put on the new man. Do we have a desire to live righteously? Do we have a desire to follow Christ in all that we do? As we look to Christ, then we're able to live that righteous life. That's why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What are we doing? I'm living my life the way Christ wants me to live. Yes, I'm still alive in this flesh, but I'm living in the way that he wants me to live. I'm not following my heart. I'm not following just good things and good deeds and good works. No, I'm following him in my life. I'm letting him live through me. Putting on that breastplate of righteousness so that he is glorified in all that I do. As we live a righteous life for the Lord, we're allowing the world to see the most visible part of our lives so that they can see Jesus. We let them see the most visible part of us. When someone looks at your life, do they see righteousness? Do they see true holiness? Do they see a person that is in truth and following God and listening to what the Lord says? Or do they see a person that's just following their own heart? Just following what the world says, doing what the world wants? This is why he says in Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's desire is that we live in a way that brings glory to him. But the only way we can do that is if we're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. If we're saying, hey, you know what, devil, my heart is off limits. It's off limits to you. It's off limits. It's not yours. It's not yours to have. It's not yours to lead. It's not yours to guide. My heart belongs to Jesus Christ. And the only way we can keep our heart away from the devil, away from the world, away from even our own flesh, is to put on the righteousness. This breastplate of righteousness, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. He says in Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Over and over and over, he talks about if we're going to live and follow Jesus Christ, it's going to produce righteousness. It's going to produce righteousness. Why? Because we're allowing our heart to be yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're allowing our heart to follow him. So he says, put on righteousness. If we listen to the lie of the devil, we'll find that our heart is not going to follow righteousness. Our heart is just going to follow whatever we want it to do. Whatever the world says, that's what our heart is going to do. It's important that we not only put on the belt of truth, but we put on the breastplate of righteousness. What will condemn our heart? Of course, the devil. The devil's going to try to condemn our heart. But when we allow sin to remain in our life, it will also be hard to fight the battle in front of us. If we know we have sin in our life, in our heart, and we're not willing to confess it, we're not willing to get it right, it's kind of hard to put on the breastplate of righteousness and keep our heart pure from the world and the flesh and the devil. And so if we're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness, if we're going to be obedient to God and follow Him, that we have to make sure, first of all, that He is first in our life, that we're loving Him. And then secondly, we have to make sure that our heart is free from sin. We're not harboring sin in our heart. We're not trying to keep it there. One of the young people quoted tonight, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we'll get it right, then we're able to put on the breastplate of righteousness. But only if we're willing to make it right with God. And we follow truth. We get into the Word of God. We find out what His desire is for us. We put on that new man, and we walk in righteousness and true holiness. The breastplate of righteousness. Can I ask you tonight, how is your heart? I'm not talking about your physical heart. Talk about your spiritual heart. How is your spiritual heart tonight? Is it unprotected? We're just walking around without the breastplate of righteousness on? We're just living our life the way we want to live it? Maybe we've gotten distracted. We have a distracted heart. Oh, we know we've put on the breastplate of righteousness and our desire is to walk in truth, but what's happened is maybe the devil's got us distracted on something that is good and not what is right. Maybe tonight we need to say, Lord, my heart's been distracted. There's been something else that I've been following that is more important than You, and I've lost that first love, just like the church of Ephesus did. I lost my first love. And I need to repent. I need to come back and have a committed heart to follow Jesus Christ, to make sure that He is first in my life, to make sure that there's no sin keeping me from being right with You, and then asking You to help me to live in a right way. Hey, as I'm girding my loins with truth every day, it's going to enable me to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because I'm finding out what is true. Not what the world says is true, I'm finding out what God says is true. And then I'm being obedient to it. I'm walking in that. I'm keeping my heart protected from the things of the world and from the devil. Keeping it in the Word of God. And may I say, parents, if I can just maybe end with this tonight. As parents, it's your job to protect your children's hearts. It's your job to protect your children's heart from what's out there. They're not old enough to understand all the things that the world is trying to get them distracted by and get them to like. They're not old enough yet to understand not to follow their heart. They're listening to what the world says. Parents, it's your job as a Christian parent to protect your children's hearts. Maybe the problem is not with our heart. Maybe it's we've let our children's heart become distracted. Maybe we've let them just follow whatever they want instead of directing them back to what is right and what is true. That's our job, parents. We have to protect our children until they reach that age of being able to go out on their own and make their own decisions. Hey, our job as parents is to protect their hearts, to help them to know what is right, to direct them in that area. How is your heart tonight? Father, I pray that You'd help us this evening, Lord, just to recognize how important it is that we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, we understand the devil has one desire, and that is to try to distract us, to get us away from the things of God. Lord, even by good things. Things that may not necessarily be sinful, they're good. The things that You have told us to do, but we become more consumed with those things and doing that than we are in our relationship with You. So, Father, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to have a heart that has put You first. Lord, our lives are built upon truth, that we might live a righteous and holy life before You. Help us to protect our children and their hearts. Lord, what a great privilege we have at First Baptist Church to see all these young people here. Lord, I know the devil's after them. I know the devil wants nothing more than to discourage them and to get them out of church and away from God. Lord, I pray for parents. I pray for our church that we would help to protect these young people. to guard their hearts, to help them to see how important it is to know God, to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to build their lives upon the truth of the Word of God. Lord, that they too, even as a young person, need to put on the whole armor of God. So, Father, I pray tonight you'd help us to examine our hearts this evening. Lord, if there's anything there that we might make it right with you, that we would put on every day the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, so often it's easy to take it off. It's easy to get distracted. Lord, help us to put on the whole armor of God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly tonight. The piano's just going to begin to play. And maybe tonight there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. Is He first in your life? Have we allowed even maybe some good things to become more important to us than even our relationship with Jesus? Are we trying to hide sin in our life, thinking that nobody will know about it? Friend, we can't put on the breastplate of righteousness if there's sin in our life. Parents, are you protecting your children? Are you guarding their hearts? Protecting them until they can learn to put on the breastplate of righteousness as well? I hope tonight nobody here has a corrupted heart. I hope tonight that you know you're saved. Maybe not. Maybe there's somebody tonight that may not know Christ, or maybe somebody watching via live stream. You don't know Christ as your Savior. Friend, you don't need the breastplate of righteousness. You just need the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. You know for sure that you're saved? If not, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. What are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Or are you just going to go about your day thinking that you've got it figured out? You know your heart. You don't want to live with an unprotected heart. Don't let the devil distract you from the things of God. Don't be like the church of Ephesus that Jesus has to say, you did good, but the problem is you left your first love. Now you need to go back and start over. Make sure the first thing is first, and that's Jesus Christ.